Do you like honey?
I like honey. Yes, local grown honey. In fact, we have a beehive in our backyard that produces honey.
You still have that?
Oh, yeah.
You get honey out of it?
Very seldom.
Well, who comes and takes that for you?
John, our friend. Yeah, it's his deal. I mean.
Well, there's a lot of names you can have in your in a world.
Yeah.
But you got to admit that having a last name of honey is probably pretty decent.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah. Hey, Mindy.
Good morning.
Mindy Honey is here with us this morning.
Tell the old boy hi when you see him.
Absolutely will do.
Who's the old boy?
My husband, David.
Okay.
He's a honey, too.
He's a honey.
He is. Right. He was the original.
So when you give him a honey-do list, it really means
honey-do. It really is, yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let me tell you, when David was working for the competitor of the big boys, who are they? Oh, come on. I'm seeing their name on the wall and all
like
those kids.
Ecolab.
Yeah, Ecolab and those. And he can't, come on, Keith. Get up to speed.
Who do you work for?
I didn't see him. Hang on a minute. I'll get it. Keith, let me tell you, because you've already messed up this morning.
Who do you work for?
He worked for a company that was a competitor of Ecolab.
Oh, okay.
Stay with me.
All right, I got you.
And I didn't remember the name of his company, but you jumped in there for me.
I just wanted to know.
What'd you want to know?
Who it was.
Why?
Because Hoopy may own stock in it.
So anyway, he came to Dulos when I didn't know anything about Ecolab or Ecolab, however you say it, whatever, on what they do. And they're big. They're huge. They do the dishwasher sanitation for dishwashers and detergent, all kinds of stuff. And her husband did that for years.
Huh.
And he helped us so much at Dulos, we could open up that center to help with catering and other things as we did for your wedding.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah,
so tell him hello.
Absolutely. Well,
okay, Mindy, I want to go back. First time with you, newspaper maybe?
Yes, probably.
Okay, so let's go back before that and tell us, our listeners, you and David, when you met, what? Where did you go to school and all that stuff?
I went to College of the Ozarks.
Oh, time out. Tell
that's
her.
Why
hired.
She's done well. Hired. Bam. Now what?
What was
you
your
do?
Workstation?
Well, it's not there anymore. The Friendship House. I worked at the
Friendship House.
Oh,
the Friendship House.
Oh, my.
Oh, I know.
I miss that.
Bean soup.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my. Yep. The upstairs, the quiet time.
Yeah.
Pepper cheese omelet that was awesome.
Oh, my God.
Because they used to do breakfast.
Oh,
and the ham.
And the cinnamon rolls.
Oh, yeah. I'm not done yet. Oh. And hot in the summer.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man.
It was hot, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. We built the Keter Center to get air conditioning.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, that's great.
Were you born around here or where were you born?
Do you know where Nevada is?
Oh, yes.
Born,
I know. We know that.
Nevada area.
Yeah. North of Joplin.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Grew up out.
And I believe the pie maker state trooper is from over in that area. Lynn
Wendiger.
Yeah.
Okay, where'd you meet your husband?
We met while I was at C of O. He was in town visiting and stuff through friends. So.
Well, isn't that
and
special?
Somebody told him C of O is a great place, and if you want to find a wife, go out there.
Something like that.
And
okay.
And what was your degree when you graduated?
Public relations.
Wow, my
goodness.
That's
why she went to the newspaper.
Look at this. Mm-hmm. And then what was one of your first jobs?
So I interned at, well, it's now Branson Trilix News.
Sure.
It's Branson Daily News. I interned there.
For the Lancaster family.
You
correct.
Jimmy
absolutely.
Lancaster.
I interned there and worked there until I graduated. And then I kind of took an odd turn and I went to work for Walgreens in management for a while. And then my heart drew me back to the newspaper.
I'm glad it did, because that Walgreens corporate structure is just, it's a good company, I'm sure. But my goodness, it's just crazy in an industry.
What do you want it now?
Yeah, and it was not a good situation for raising a family.
Sure.
So I went back to the newspaper because that's ideal. I wanted to be part of the community again, get kind of plugged in.
Well, let me tell you, you wrote some tremendous, tremendous articles. You were always on top of things. You did it. And what did she do better than anything?
I don't know.
You're sitting there, you just got to watch, listen to the interview?
Yeah, that's a question. I don't know what your answer is.
Sure. She spelled Ingram with an E.
Oh,
yeah,
that's why.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Okay, what years were you at the paper?
Oh, my gosh. I'm trying to think. I left, I think it was 2007. I worked there, and then 2014 I left, and I went to work for Cox Health.
Yes.
So I worked for Cox Health as their, I'm trying to remember my title, was like communications coordinator,
sure,
running the media,
right,
and internal communications. And during that time, my office was actually housed within Skaggs Foundation.
Correct.
And so I got to know Skaggs Foundation really well and their inner workings. And in 2016, I went over to work directly for Skaggs Foundation. Mm-hmm. And I was there up until this past fall.
I remember all these moves, and all of a sudden we get John Baltus comes in, and he's not going to be there any longer. And who replaces him? But, man, Mindy Honey and I made the text right off the bat congratulating her. Now she's here on the show. Welcome and thank you.
Thank you very much.
And your background has really helped you to wear it.
Yeah. Perfect. yeah. Being plugged into the community, knowing the needs, I think that's really been.
So Mindy Honey's our guest today. She is with the Silver Dollar City Foundation, and you're going to find out. And John had such a great way of orchestrating me, because I would call him in the early days of being in Branson, and one day he said something like this, Charlie, this is what we do. We are laser-focused on this. Do you remember what he told me?
I don't know what he would have told you back then.
What are you laser-focused on now?
We're laser-focused on helping children and families in our community thrive.
That's exactly what he told me. And a lot of it deals with schools.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep. And so he basically in a kind of way, he was saying, hey, all the other things you're talking about are great, and I love supporting those, but that's not where we're at. And I love it when people do that for you, Keith.
Yep.
Because when you're working on a project or whatever, that's not a call you need to make. Because right. You know, somebody says, hey, I have an idea. Let's call the Silver Dollar City Foundation. I said, not, because they are laser focused.
We are.
I got a text or email the other day, a news release. You guys were doing something in Spokane, am I right?
Yes.
Tell me what that was.
So we actually work with all 14 school districts that serve students in Stone and Taney County. And yes, Spokane is technically outside of Stone and Taney counties, but they serve a lot of Stone County kids. And so we give them two different grants. And the one that we were talking about was what we call the Hope Grant. And this is a grant that actually the school gets to decide how they want to use it. And they use it to increase hope in students. And they do that through a number of different ways. Monthly, they kind of do different things to encourage mental health. They do different, like a whole week then in the month of April, focusing on encouraging the students, kind of raising awareness of mental health, trying to prevent bullying, things like that, just to encourage the kids to connect and have meaningful relationships.
Now, I find it very interesting what you said. We help schools in Stone and Taney County. I realize what you're saying about Spokane, but it's as close to being a Stone County school as you can get.
Yes.
And like you said, there's a lot of kids from Stone County in that school.
Yes.
Now, how does it work? Do you first go to a counselor? Do you go to the administration? Where does your partnership start?
So it starts with administration, but we really get down and spend a lot of time with like the counselors and learning the needs and things like that and understanding what those needs are. But one thing I really like about Silver City Foundation is we recognize we're not the experts. We're not the ones in the trenches. And so we rely heavily on the schools. They know what the needs are. That's what they're an expert in. They take care of the kids. They're there every day. They know what those needs are. And so we give them the funds, and they're able to use those to make a difference. And so through our Hope Grants, which I was writing about, was the schools recognize what can they use or how can they use these dollars to make a difference in the lives of their students.
Mindy, I'm going to tell you something. Keith can help you with this because he's going to know exactly what it is when I start to say it. I know a lady who is on the Taneyville School Board. And we were having a conversation at the bank she works at one day, and they have these little play dollars, Keith, that the kids can earn. Mm-hmm. And they have kind of a shop, and they go into the shop, and they can take their money that they've earned, mm-hmm. and they can buy things.
Right.
Keith, do you remember the number one item that was bought at those schools?
Seems like it was like the paper goods, toilet paper, like that.
I couldn't get that out of my mind.
It really shows what many of our kids are going through and the lives that they live. It's eye-opening. I've heard that many, many times over my years working in the community, that it's paper goods, it's toilet paper, it's, you know, it's paper towels, it's bedding, even bedding blankets, you know, laundry soap.
And, you know, we're all sitting here today thinking about this, thinking about our world and with what you all are doing. This is how you can help, by helping support Silver Dollar City Foundation. And think about it. You're a young child, and you go in, and you got all these things, Keith, in this room that you can spend your bucks on.
Toys and all kinds of stuff.
And they pick things for their family. That's got to just touch your heart, Keith.
Yeah, it really does. And it lets us know that, you know, there is a great, great need. How's the Silver Dollar City Foundation funded?
Yeah, so almost all of our dollars actually come from the park. The park park owners, park management, they're very, very generous, and so they filter dollars to us through a program, and so the majority of all of our funds. I mean, we do get a small amount of outside donations, but the majority of our operation dollars actually comes from the park, and then we receive substantial support from Woodland Hills.
Now, you said that the Hope Grant is what we were talking about. Is there other grants, and what are they?
So the Hope Grant, we have a Hope Grant with every school district, And so, say, for instance, I was at Kirbyville School last week, and I was talking to Leanne West, and they're using it to make their preschool more affordable. So, like, oftentimes she said their preschool was underutilized because parents couldn't afford to send their kids on a daily basis, and so they were charging parents per day. And so she said often parents would only send their kids 2 to 3 times a day. And so with our funds, they're offsetting that cost to make it only $5 a day.
That's great.
That so kids can go consistently and get that early childhood education, which is so vitally important.
It really is.
Well, you know, we say it, but we don't know it. And I think it's so important for us to expand this word. Keith, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to let you answer because I don't want to answer, but you're going to, and you're going to do it very, very
put
well.
Put me on the spot, Mindy.
Well, because you know what I'm going to say.
All right.
There are some people that can be real naysayers, can't they?
Oh, sure.
And so when they built the high road, do you remember what people said about the high road?
They called it Pete's Pike.
Okay. Now, what were people trying to say when they said that?
That Silver Dollar City is the only reason that that road is there.
Let me tell you.
And that because Pete was involved in tourism, he got it done.
Well, let me tell you something. If you've ever driven on it, you can realize it's not Pete's. It's a lot of people's.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something else. This is a term that I learned when I first came to town, and it's as true now as it was 33 years ago. So goes
Silver Dollar City.
So goes
Branson's area.
I'm telling you what. Yeah. That's the facts, folks, and you can look it up. And if you hear somebody bad-mouthing people, I want you to do me a favor. Do me a favor. Why don't you find out what maybe the largest employer is in the area, number one. Number two, a theme park with international and domestic superiority. And number three, that helps people like children through their foundation.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know that there
that,
is.
That's not how you wrote it, but that's how I said it.
That's how you said it. I don't know that there's not, but I haven't ever heard of a Disney Foundation to help kids in their area. But Silver Dollar City Foundation, when was it started?
So it was formally started back in 1996. But I will tell you, I've been reading a lot of history on the park and Mary and Hugo Hershen and Pete and Jack when they started the park. And they've always been very, very generous and giving. And so it wasn't that they just started giving in 1996. They'd been giving all along and very committed to the community. It's just that they recognized the need to become formalized in 1996 when they started the foundation and kind of made it more direction, you know, give it more direction and more organization.
I guarantee you they gave a lot. I'm sure somebody sat down with them and said, look, you can even do more through this your own foundation. Now, would you remind our friend's name that worked with John Baltus? He gave us a hard time all the time. Burton.
Bob?
Bob.
Yeah, Bob
Have
Burton.
You seen that name in your notes anywhere?
I haven't.
Bob Burton?
No, I haven't.
Well, you look, you look it
involved
up.
Involved in employment and stuff, and he gave us a test one morning
as
to whether or not we'd be hireable. And he said he thought that, you know, the Dairy Queen was looking for somebody, maybe.
Yeah, he didn't put us on the list.
No, he did not.
He was a man that was full of wanting to pray for people.
Mm.
And John Baltus, when the next time you talk to John, mention to him, Bob, and he'll take a few minutes to tell you about him. But he was a Hare Krishner. He was one of those off-the-wall guys out of the Catholic background. And he just loved KLFC, loved Keith and I. And he did a great job at the foundation.
Yeah.
So some history for you.
Sure did.
Now, I called you the other day to ask to come on the show because I thought I saw about another school.
Yeah.
Which one was it?
It was Crane.
Crane. Keith, tell me about Crane.
That's where they have the Broiler Festival every year. And they have the Little Miss Chick Contest. And Crane is a city west of us. And I don't know what else you want me to tell you
about.
No,
you're fine. I think
they do fried chicken really well during that festival.
Stone County School, I would presume.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely. And so so that was Hope Dollars.
Okay.
And so how they used their Hope Dollars was, again, early childhood, because so early childhood is so vitally important. Statistics or studies show that a child, when they get to first grade, their reading level in first grade is a predictor for the rest of their school career.
Wow.
The success. And so it's vitally important that when kids enter school that they're, you know, they're ready to learn in kindergarten. And so what can we impact that's early early childhood, so preschool. And so they used their Hope grants to take their like preschool and expand it from half days to full days. And so oftentimes you had kids that were coming in and they had to leave before like lunch, and then you had afternoon kids. And so they didn't get that full effect. And it also prevented a lot of parents from being able to work, because you could imagine you drop your kids off and you got to go pick them up from lunch. You know, well, mom and dad, whoever's picking them up, they can't work. And so it was kind of a you know, double win because, one, those kids are getting that full day experience. They're getting more seat time. They're getting more education. They're getting more experiences in that early childhood and getting them better prepared for kindergarten. But it's also allowing parents to work and support and help their families.
I'd like to stay there for just a minute because, boy, have things changed. And I realize this is a whole different discussion, Keith, about early education.
Right.
But in the society that we're living in, parents need to work.
Yep.
Keith,
yeah,
it's a fact of life.
Oh,
okay.
Absolutely.
Say whatever you want to say.
Yep.
Many people say, I'd love to have my wife at home. It just doesn't work. Now, there's some things you can look at if you'd like to and say, can we afford to have you do this? And I encourage you to do that. But when you can't, you've got to have these programs that are available so that mom and dad are just not scrunched so tight they can't even make it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we, through the HOPE grant, again, that's the program where the schools get to decide. We also do Care for Kids. And again, that's a separate grant, and that goes out to every school district, those 14 school districts. And schools get to decide exactly how they want to use those dollars to help kids. And it's for physical needs. And so it might be clothing and shoes. They might see a child at school and they've outgrown their shoes or, you know, where a kid's not running in PE because their shoes are falling off of them. And so the school can immediately access those funds and provides, you know, meet that need immediately. No embarrassment, no nothing like that. They might buy school supplies. They might provide, some of the schools use it to provide food for, you know, we often hear families not being able to provide enough food for their kids on the weekends or evenings. So they might send food home. Rent, utilities. We hear of people, you know, struggling to keep the electric on, especially in the winter. And so the schools are able to do that, meet those needs. And then medical, vision, dental, things like that. And not everything's often in a clean category. So I was talking to Leanne last week at Kirbyville, and she's told me some really amazing stories that just touch her heart, how, like, they use it to build trust. And she was telling about a grandmother that's raising her grandkids, and we know that's very common these days. And the grandmother's doing her best and absolutely adores and loves her kids, grandkids. But she, the kids had, like many kids in elementary, had gotten lice. And and school policy is, of course, to protect other kids. Those kids can't be in school until it's taken care of. And
right.
If you've ever had a child with lice, it's a messy cycle.
It sure is.
And it can be very expensive. And so what Leanne was able to do is she was able to tap into those Care for Kids dollars and provide funding and be able to buy those treatments and help that grandmother out. And so it built a relationship. Somebody who was kind of hesitant to interact with the school, kind of untrusting, Leanne was able to say, here's what you need. Let me just help you. I want your kids in school. It's important that your kids are in school. Let me just not tell you what you need to do. Let me help you.
Yeah. I got a song. I'm going to play you about the first minute or two of it. And it just starts to set the pattern, I think. And Keith, you know this very, very well. Listen to this.
All right.
He shoveled coal to make a poor man's dollar. My daddy worked all night in the van near coal mine, all day long in a field of hoeing corn. Mommy rocked the baby that night and read the Bible by the coal oil light, and everything was
that that's just lyrics to a song, but you know, there's a lot of folks that fits their situation exactly, Mindy, whether it be in Taney or Stone County or any other parts of the country.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. Poverty is very real in our area, and that's where at Solar City Foundation, we're so blessed to have a park and the people that run it that love our community so much that they, you know, that they are willing to funnel those dollars to the foundation so we can give them out and, you know, and not tell people how they need to spend those dollars. That's what I love about it so much is we don't say, this is, you know, how you spend your dollars. We say, here's some funding, you know, tell us how you use it and how you met
the
needs.
And they know what they need.
Sure they do.
And you know what? That song has always just touched my heart. Mm-hmm. Because that coal miner's daughter family studied the Bible by the old coal lamp.
Oh, yeah.
Got their pair of shoes to start school. And you listen to that song. If you've never heard the whole thing, I encourage you to go to Loretta Lynn, Coal Miner's Daughter. We've almost wore that song out when it first came out because it had such written. You knew those people.
Yeah, Keith. And it was true. I mean, I had an opportunity to visit with her with some other folks just sitting there talking like we are. And that wasn't just lyrics for a song for her. It was how it was.
And we have the ability. And so what can our listeners do? Our listeners can go to Silver Dollar City and buy the bread and ride fire in the hole and know that your money that you're spending for your season pass, which is a whale of a deal, Keith.
Yes.
To go and buy some things, that money's going to trickle back to the foundation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's a great way to support the park, and which ultimately supports the foundation. We appreciate that because, yeah, it is vitally important. Our school districts will tell you how important those dollars are to them.
And we hear at Woodland Hills, Ted, talking about it from time to time, and I'm glad that we contribute to that because it's very, very well used, and it's certainly needed in our county.
Yeah.
Mindy, before we let you go, let's talk for just a second about that mom and dad who the kids have gone to bed and they've looked at their check and you got to make decisions. And decisions, I met a guy the other day, was which car can we take because we can only have one car. And he lived in Harrison, Arkansas, Keith, working at Silver Dollar City. And he was walking home. Mm-hmm. Now, folks, I tried to figure it out how long it take you to walk to Harrison.
That's a long trek.
Yeah, and the point is there's many people like that. So what's that mean? That means if you're retired and you got the gold watch in 50 years, hallelujah, and thank the Lord for what you've got. But there's a lot of people that are sitting at the table that don't have that. And moms and dads are trying their best to make it, and it's just not working. And, boy, the price of life just goes on.
Yeah.
And what you all are doing, we want to thank you. And I'm so proud. That says my wife just says what your mother would say. I'm so proud of Charlie. I'm so glad that the Silver Dollar City picked you, Mindy, because connects that relationship that we've had for years with you and John and others. And I thank you for.
I think it's a great fit, Mindy, and congratulations. You'll do a wonderful
job.
I'm
very honored.
What else can we do? Anything on the top of your mind? I'll tell you what else.
What can we do?
Yeah, absolutely. So pray for these kids in our schools. Okay. They, it's not easy these days, you know. They have a lot of things facing them. Mental health is so prevalent in our schools. You know, inflation, their families are struggling, as we all know, you know. Inflation is so high. Families are struggling to, make ends meet. So just pray for our kids. Pray for them, please.
I heard the State of the Union, and then I didn't think that was a problem. Now, why did I say that? I just did because I said it. Mindy, God bless you and your roots to the College of the Ozarks. Where you're from Nevada.
Uh-huh.
Did you have other kids go to C of O besides you?
I had two older brothers and both my parents. They actually met at S of O at the time.
How many times have we heard that family tree in that grant?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I have a question. When you graduated debt-wise, how much debt did you have?
Zero.
Zero!
And I actually love to tell my kids that I actually, because I worked an off-campus job, I actually graduated with money in my savings so we could, when we, you know, started out.
Sure.
I could get married and we could get a house. And
wow.
So, awesome. It's doable. Yeah, you can.
I think we need to undertake a campaign to get the food from the Friendship House back somewhere.
Oh, my gosh. That cashew chicken.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
The ham and the egg omelet. Pepper cheese omelet in the morning.
Well, let's be gut level honest.
Now, their cinnamon rolls that they have out there now, they're good. But I'm not sure if they're any better than they used to be.
Oh.
The director of the Keter Center did me a favor in the very beginning, and in the very beginning after the Friendship House stopped,
right,
and the Keter Center started, I went to him and I said, "There's no ham and beans," and he put them back on the menu.
Are they still there?
Oh no, somewhere along the line it didn't fit with the Keter Center menu. But they were sure fun to go out there. And say, give me them famous ham and beans right there.
People loved their ham and
the
beans.
Cornbread.
Yep.
Did you do at the Friendship House?
So my first year, I like most students, I had to start in the back.
Yeah.
And so I quickly figured out though I saw the wait staff making tips, and I realized I want to do that. I want to be able to make tips to help support me. And so I did that. Like, I worked in the back and stuff. So I made toast and things like that my first year. And then I was a wait staff the rest
of
the year. All
right, Mindy, I'm going to turn something I've written down on my paper. And you're going to know this as soon as you read it. Okay? My granddaughter, she's a sophomore.
Okay.
And where did she start?
The dish. I've worked many Sundays on buffet Sundays back in the dish room. And even if I was working, you know, like wait staff, you still might get drug in there to be, oh, it's hot and it's messy.
And Jana, our oldest daughter, who went back as a non-traditional student in her 40s, she worked in the dish pit too and the salad preparation and loved it. So hey, God bless you.
It's a great foundation for working. Mindy, honey, thank you so much for being here. All right, come back and see us again. Keep us updated.
A little personal the way you said that, don't you think?
Silver Dollar City. What? I didn't call her Hoopy.
Oh, okay. Mindy, tell the husband hello. You've been a great family and great supporter of the things we've been involved in. Thank you very much. If we can do anything here, let the station know.
All right, we'll do.
All right, God bless you.